Hallelujah. I want you to do one thing. You know, we're to always use our mouth, whether it be to confess the Word of God, whether to worship. The only time you don't open your mouth concerning the things of God is when you're fasting. Then you keep it shut. The rest of the time, you use your mouth. Even God, you know, the Holy Spirit was hovering above, and God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And the Holy Spirit was there to perform it. Well, He's here today to perform. And so I want you to do something here. I want you just to lift your hands, and then out of your heart. Now, this is the reason, this is one of the reasons we're doing this. If God spoke to you and said, go to the Arctic and minister to the Eskimos, but you can't take this group of worship leaders with you, and you can't take your iPod, and those of you that are still living in ancient times, you can't take your cassette player. All you got is you and God in your mouth. So what are you going to do? You're going to lift your hands. You're going to open your mouth. And you're going to begin out of your heart. You're going to talk to God one-on-one. You say, well, I don't know what to say. How about this? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you and praise you. I love you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I give you all the glory and all the honor. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here today and moving in our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. We're done for the moment. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Hallelujah. I've been looking forward to this. You know, I don't know how much Pastor Rick has told you, but we did this. The last time I was in Melody Fellowship was in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. But I can remember one Sunday morning, I believe it was either in January or February. I can remember, I don't even remember what year right now. But I remember one Sunday morning that we met like this in Melody Fellowship. And we didn't get done until 18 days later. True story. Hallelujah. But it's a pleasure to be here and an honor. Let me introduce my wife. This is Shelley. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll just tell you a little bit about the ministry. I was born again in 1985, filled with the Holy Ghost in June of that year. And ever since then, all I've wanted is more of God. And all I've ever wanted to do was do what He wanted me to do. I'm not satisfied with sitting on a church pew and staying there and doing nothing. I'm not gonna do that. I made a decision a long time ago. I would never do that. And that I would, if any way at all, I would do what He wanted me to do, as long as I could hear Him. So a lot of the ministry has been based on teaching people to hear the voice of God and to be obedient. We travel throughout the United States and now Canada. I love it. And we have an extensive ministry outreach to the country of Peru. I've lost track of the amount of churches that we had there. The last pastors' conference we had a little over a year ago, we had 300 pastors in the pastors' conference. We, until God changed us and to doing pastors' conferences in Peru so we could compound our efforts with this message of prayer, fasting, worship, meditating the Word. Until then, until he changed that and started having us to teach the pastors, we were doing miracle crusades where we had 4,000 to 5,000 in each crusade. Thousands were born again. Miracles, deaf mutes were healed, spoke, ears open, stuff like that. Cripples got up and walked. Still do when we go. Everywhere I go, God just shows up. You know, because I know that He's going to show up. I have that confidence and that faith that He's going to show up and that He's going to minister to everybody here that wants to be ministered to, and some that don't want to be ministered to will be ministered to. So we've traveled throughout the country of Peru. I've lost track of the number of cities. We've been high in the Andes Mountains, around 12,000 feet there at Huancavelica. The first crusade that was ever held in Huancavelica, Peru, by a minister high up in the Andes Mountains was the one that we did. Since then, it's opened up quite a bit. That was just a few years ago. We've been in the jungle. We've held miracle crusades in the jungle. The last two or three that we've held have been in the northern part of Peru near the Ecuador border. So we get an overflow from Ecuador also in the meetings. So that's just a little bit of background. I was taught by Pastor Dave Roberson out of Tulsa. I've been with him since 1985, basically. So I haven't been to a Bible school except the Holy Spirit and Dave Roberson. But we're just having a ball. Have fun everywhere we go. Do what God tells us to do. So it's a pleasure to be here this morning. And I want you to turn your Bibles, open your Bibles, and turn to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, one of the first things that God spoke to me whenever He called me full-time in the ministry, He said, there's one thing that you'll always come back to, you'll always start with, and you'll always come back to. And that's personal relationship. Everywhere you go, you'll not just deliver a message to be delivering a message, but it'll be a message concerning personal relationship. And everywhere that I have you to open to in my Word, you're going to see personal relationship. And He's been true to His Word. You can have all the experiences with God and have all the supernatural experiences, but when you walk out of a meeting or you walk out of a special meeting like this, you still have, as a believer, have the obligation to develop that relationship with God on your own. When you come to church on Wednesday evening or Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever, special meetings, that's just to get you going the right direction and to give you an uplifting and an edification that you can go ahead through the Word of God and begin to develop that personal relationship. But it's up to you to do that. See, the pastor, Pastor Rick, he can preach to you and teach to you and exhort you, but he can't do the personal relationship for you. Well, to have a personal relationship with God and to go farther into God and develop that with Him, there's got to be changes. One or two amens on that?
Amen.
It's about par. You've got to expect that you're going to have to change. God accepted you when you came into the body of Christ and became born again. He accepted you as you are. Each one of us. And He didn't want you to change you. He wanted to do the changing. But He expects change in your life. And each step into God requires leaving something behind. You can't stay the same as you are and expect to go farther into God. It's going to require change. And sometimes that hurts. You know, it hurts the flesh, it hurts our emotions cry out, I don't want to change, I like me the way I am. But it requires change. I like me the way I am, and I expect you to like me the way I am. You know? But He expects change. And He gives us a way in the Word of God. There's not anything in your life that you face or that you come to that isn't covered in the Word of God. There's an answer there for everything. People come to me and say, would you pray for me? I need to know the will of God. Well, of course, I'll pray for them and you know, ask God that their ears be open, their eyes be open to see His will. But I also tell them, the will of God for your life is right here on these written pages. Well, I need to hear Him personally. Well, it's written right here on these pages. It talks about prayer. Praying in other tongues. When you pray in an unknown tongue, you pray down the mysteries. The mind of Christ for your life. It talks about fasting. When you fast, you mortify the flesh. You put the flesh down that you can go farther into God and receive the things of God. When you became born again, you were able to communicate with God. It talks about worship, that you can take those emotions that are out of control and begin to turn them toward God through worship. It talks about meditating the Word of God, that you can get the Word of God down inside you, that you'll know the voice of God when you hear it and not some other spirit that's wrong. You know, the enemy, he's really slick. He can get to sounding like God every now and then. You've got to know something. You've got to have the edge on him somehow, and the only way is through the Word of God. Only through the Word of God can you know for sure that God is speaking to you. Well, if you don't get in the Word of God, how are you going to know it? If you spend 5 minutes every other day in the Word of God, you're not going to know enough to give the Holy Spirit a chance to help you in your walk with God and walking toward His will and hearing His voice. Amen? Got real quiet on me there for a minute when I said that 5 minutes every other day. I told you I was going to have fun. Sometimes it may be at your expense, but I'm still going to have fun. That's all right. Join in because we're going to pray for everybody before we leave here. Everybody will walk out healed and you'll forget that I was even here. That's a bad confession. Now, he called me to go into Him that wherever I went, that lives would be changed. And I expect lives to be changed here today. I expect things to be different. When I leave here, I don't want it to be the same old as before I came in your lives individually. He expects us to make changes in our life. But we have to be willing and then obedient to do that. He's not going to force anything upon you. He's not that way. He lays it out. He gives you the opportunity. If you say no, you walk away from Him. There'll always be another opportunity at some point. People say, well, you know, I need a word from God. Well, what did you do with the last word that you got from God? Did you walk it out? How can you expect another word from God, a fresh new word from God, when you didn't do the last word? See? Hallelujah, Jesus. So here in Corinthians, I like what Paul says. You know, a lot of people skip over some of this right here, but in chapter 2, he said, "For what man knows," in verse 11, "what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." See, whenever you get born again and the Holy Spirit comes in and makes you new on the inside, makes your spirit man alive, only then are you able to communicate with God. See, because God is a spirit, so you're going to have to be able to communicate with Him. Well, it's going to have to be through that new man. Of course, the Holy Spirit's involved with that, but it's through that new man that you're going to be able to communicate with Him and hear Him and follow Him, do His will. But if you don't have that on working on the inside of you, you're not able to receive from Him. Well, he goes on here and he talks about, he says that these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, you got to have something on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is going to be there to correct you if you're headed down the wrong route. Like if you have inside you something spiritual that says, well, you know, it's God's will for you not to be healed. Or, you know, God put this on you. Well, the Holy Spirit is there to correct those things. But unless you get in the Word of God, you're not giving Him an opportunity then to work with you and start changing this on the inside of you. That you know the perfect will out of the Word of God of just what He wants in your life. And, you know, and Paul, he was trying to correct them here because, you know, they were considered a very spiritual church. You know, but there were some things going on, and this is what Paul had to say. And, well, I tell you what, sometimes, you know, when we read some of this stuff, it just gets right in the middle of our lap. You know, because we see ourselves doing the same thing. Let's read on and see what he says. He says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have access to his will. We have access to gain the knowledge of him and what his will is. But unless we go into him, unless we turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit and let him begin to teach us and root out those things that are wrong in our lives and put to death some things in our life, mortify the flesh, unless we let Him begin to do that, we're not going to be able to follow Him. We're not going to have what He has for us. See, He wants the best for you and I. He wants everything manifested in our life. Say, well, I was born again, so I have those things. Those things are mine. Well, why aren't they manifested in your life? Have you ever thought about that? I know I have healing in my life. Well, why isn't it manifested? I know I have prosperity because He gave it to me. Well, why is it not manifested? Why do some have trouble paying their bills? And yet they're saying that all day long. Is it possible? Is it just possible that maybe some doubt and unbelief is there and we don't believe what we really think we believe? Is that possible? Well, that requires changes. If you're going to get out of doubt and unbelief and walk into faith, That's going to require some change. You're going to have to leave something behind. Mainly doubt and unbelief. And sometimes that doubt and unbelief can be so subtle, like I said, that you don't even know that you have it. But one thing I found about that, and I know we're covering a lot of material today, but I only got a few hours. I just wanted to go the direction he wanted to go today. He's talking about change. He's talking about change within this body. He's talking about change in your way of thinking. He's talking about change in the way of your character. Change in the way of the way you act when you get outside the four walls. You get inside the four walls, you act good, you look good, you go outside and live like hell. You can't do that. I don't know if there's somebody here doing that, but he's wanting to say it for some reason. He does accept us as we are whenever we're born again, but then he expects change as we go along the way. Thank God for his grace. That when I'm walking through that time of change, his grace is there. That I can get right back up when I fall. Start again. And grace is not this forgiveness or repentance pill that I take on Sunday morning after I've lived with the devil on Saturday night. That's not grace. Thank God for his grace that we can repent. Get back on track and make strides toward walking into him. But if they come teaching to you about that little repent pill that everything's okay because of his grace being provided, you can do what you want to, you need to run the other direction as fast as you can run, because I tell you right now, it's not in the Word of God. There's been a lot of things come down the pike in the United States, and it's the devil's the same in the United States as he is in Canada. The devil's the same in the United States as he is in Peru. People come to me in Peru, and they think that we don't face the same things that they face. They think, you know, well, this is rougher because we're a third world country. Well, I understand that part of it, but the devil's the same everywhere. And if he can deceive you and get you out there in the wrong place, out of the will of God, he'll destroy you, and then somebody has to come along and pick up the pieces and put you back together again. Well, thank God for pastors that will do that, but why do you want to keep going around the mountain and looking at the same rock every time? See, there's a way out that you can put a stop to that. I've pastored. I'm an evangelist. I'm a teacher. I've pastored. When I pastored, I wanted to go back out on the road. When I got out on the road, I was ready to pastor again. I tell you what I found is, the best place is to be in the will of God. And I tell you what, Satan will set traps for every person in here to head them a different direction from where they're supposed to be. And he'll get them out there and they'll be left destroyed and torn to pieces. That's the way he works. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll do it to every person in here. Not one person is immune unless you go deep into God and stay with God. He's looking, he'll never give up. He'll never quit looking for an opportunity to lead you astray or to destroy you in some form or fashion. That's just what he does, the dirty rat. That's just Satan. Don't expect him to stop. You have to stay on guard, and you have to get close to God so that you know the difference. I've seen everything come down the pike in the United States, it seems like. I can't even think of a new one right now because all of them are the same. You know, it's one thing or the other. You know, and well, we won't go into particulars. I'll just leave it at that. Things keep coming down the pipe over and over. Satan has no new tactics, but he's good at what he does. If he can string you out there somewhere, make you think that you're out of the will of God and get you going off the other direction, you know, and yet, you know, it's funny. All the time I've traveled and pastored, you know, people come and say, God spoke to me, told me to do this, told me to be with you. I'm supposed to be right with you, right by you. And then I guess 2 weeks later, God changed his mind because they were gone. Listen, if God tells you to be a part of this church, if he directs you that way and tells you that way, you can expect that not to be changed for a long time because he doesn't work that way. He's not a fast McDonald's drive-through French fry world. That's not him. Many times, you know, very few people, Shelly and I, like I said, have traveled everywhere. Rick and Brenda have known us for a long time. I don't even know how long. You know, a long time. You know, and we're the same. I'm preaching and teaching today what I preached and taught way back then. We're the same. We stay the same. Because that's what God has said for me to go and do. But, you know, we've had many people that have come, say, I'm supposed to stick with you, I'm supposed to help you. You know, only one or two of them lasted several years. The rest of them, within weeks or months, were gone. You know, for one thing, they don't understand what they're stepping into, that the heat from the enemy's turned up whenever they do it. The other thing is that they've had this life of, you know, God saying one thing and then changing his mind 2 weeks later. And that's just not the way it works. You make a decision that you've heard from God. Yes, you do hear from God. You need to hear from God. But once you hear from him, you settle in on that decision and stick with it come hell or high water. And don't stop. And don't be drawn off by every whim of doctrine that comes down the pipe. Get rid of those itching ears. That you may settle in and hear what God has to say, because he probably wants to do something in your life to be able to bless you even more than you're blessed right now. But he can't do it if you're going here and there. I don't care what they say. They can say, well, I'm going here and I got blessed and I went over there and I got blessed. Well, you flaky thing, sit down. Glue your britches to the pew and pray. That's what needs to happen. I told one guy one time, he told me some weird thing, I can't even remember what it was. I said, we need to lock you in the cellar until you're dead. Now God expects you to make changes and to mortify some of those things in your flesh and some of that stupid thinking, see? He doesn't like that. He can't bless it. You understand what I'm saying? He can't bless it. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out more, but he can't go against his word. He's not a man to lie. God doesn't lie. So he can't go against his word. If his word says one thing, he's not going to go against it. It's settled. It's a settled issue. Quit trying to change the word of God. Go ahead and start to change yourself to fit the word of God. Anyhow, we'll get back to what Paul said here. So anyhow, he goes on and he said, even after saying all that, he said, and our brethren could not speak to you as spiritual people. Now this is supposed to be the spiritual church. He said, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but to carnal. It doesn't matter if you have all the gifts working, or you know the gifts and all of that, you know, and think you're really spiritual, what matters is your character. What matters is your maturity. See, he wants you to put to death the deeds of the flesh, According to Romans chapter 8, he wants you to put to death the deeds of the flesh that you may be sons of God. Mature ones in Christ. But what he was talking about there in Romans chapter 8, we won't turn there for time's sake, but what he was talking about there was putting to death the deeds of the body, putting to death those things in your life that are wrong, that you may go farther into God and be a mature one in Christ. And that was the only way that you were going to be able to do it, that you use that born-again spirit and the Holy Spirit and begin to change things in your life, put to death the things in your life that are keeping you from maturing in Christ. And Paul was talking about the same thing right here in Corinthians. He said, I can't talk to you because I can't tell you these things that I want to tell you. I want to go farther and tell you these things, but I can't do it because you're carnal. He was calling the most spiritual church around at that time carnal babes in Christ. He goes on and he says, he qualified it. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions. Any of that ring a bell? I don't know. I'm just asking a question. Does any of that ring a bell? For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, you're not behaving like a born-again person, like a new person in Christ. You're acting like the old man before you got born again. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? He was talking about following all, instead of saying, I'm of Christ, and I'm receiving all that God has, and I'm walking into Him. Instead, they were saying, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. And he went on and he said, be careful. Be careful. Stay with the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically what he was talking about there, you can be led to destruction if you get to following different directions. You know, one thing I see in the body of Christ is, boy, people will just grab all the books off the bookshelves they can read, and they'll read every one of them. One person will say, fast. The other person will say, not to fast. One person will say, pray. Another one in another book will say, you can pray in tongues too much, or you can pray too much. You need to worship. And they're just taking all this stuff in, going from one whim of doctrine to another. Oh, they don't realize it. You know, the enemy's real subtle. What you need to do is take this book called the Bible and sit down and begin to use it and read it. It's all right to read material, but this is your main material. And when you do read material, you need to stay with the vein of doctrine that God has showed you is right and correct. What are you doing taking in a bunch of other stuff? You run to different meetings all over the country. Some of them are totally outrageous, not even in line with the Word of God. And you sit there and take that in. The last time somebody tried to do that to me, I got up and walked out of their church. I don't want nothing except what the Word of God says. You can't just follow this and that and expect to grow. You're just going to go around the circle all the time. See? So that's what he was talking about there, and he went on. I won't read all of it there, but I'll go on to verse 11. He said, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll get this next part because people think, well, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Spirit, glory to God, I'm baptized, I speak with other tongues, I got it made. Listen, you don't stop. You never stop. And this is why. He says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, and of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Listen, we don't stop. We continue to change. We continue to make changes in our life, spirit, soul, and body. We continue to go into God, doing what God says, being obedient, because that's the only way that you're going to lay up a reward in heaven, is to be obedient to what the Lord Jesus Christ says to do. See, that's how you're going to gain in heaven. Time is of the essence. The escrow has been given. Time is of the essence. It's expedient that you go ahead. It says in Ephesians to redeem the time. Why sit idly by? It's time to move forward. It's time to get in there and do the things necessary in the Word of God to move forward. Well, I'm born again. Yeah, you're born again. Some of them will have to settle for the fact that they're born again and just settle for that. But if I can edge you, if I can needle you and exhort you and push you to going farther into God and doing more for God, if I can do that, then I've accomplished my purpose. It's good that you're born again. It's good that you're filled with the Spirit. It's good that you show up on Sunday morning to soothe your conscience. But it's better that you take the Word of God, that you go farther into His will, what He wants you to do. Don't stop. Continue to change, making adjustments in your life, spirit, soul, and body. Make change spiritually. Get rid of some of that old doctrine that you were taught when you were a kid that was wrong. You know it's nothing but dead religion. Get rid of it. Get the truth out of the Word of God. Go in there and get the truth for yourself. Get the truth out of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, He'll help you. Get in there and turn those emotions toward God and begin to start living a life of worship that you can change those emotions. Those emotions weren't created to lead you around. You were supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, not by your emotions. Well, the only way you're going to do that is take that soul and turn it toward God. Change, turn those emotions toward God and begin to worship Him. Start putting to death the flesh. Start doing some fasting. Start doing some praying in the Spirit more than what you ever have. And begin to put down the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh. Start making changes in that area. I challenge you to be changed by the next time I ever show up here. It's time. It's past time. You don't know how much time you have left to lay up that reward in heaven. You have no idea. It's time to get started. Well, is it too late? No. Today's a good day. It's a day that the Lord has made. It's time. Stand to your feet with me if you could. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just encourage everybody to start spending time praying in the Spirit. You know, take an hour each day to start with. Pray an hour in the Spirit each day. Take about 2 days out of the week and fast. You mean just do without supper? No, I mean fast. 24 hours a day for 2 days. I wasn't talking about a diet. I was talking about fasting. Spend your entire day off and on lifting your hands. Hey, it doesn't interrupt your day. It doesn't interrupt your job or whatever you're called to do. lift those hands and say, oh, I thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Now, if you're driving, you don't have to lift your hands. But you can go ahead and thank him and love him and worship him. We're talking about a personal relationship. We're talking about a lifestyle, not just in the church four walls. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Did you get it?